The Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the National Rugby League.
So I do believe there's a story behind a little bit of Paul Kelly to start off this State of Origin 3 podcast.
Well, I mean, we usually wouldn't play Paul Kelly. I mean, not there's nothing wrong with Paul Kelly, but he generally doesn't come into the mix generally. But this time around, he's come in the mix purely because for some reason when you – well, basically we went and seen Paul Kelly on the Wednesday night. It just happened to be when you booked 5 or 6 weeks ago and you don't realize that Origin 3 was on.
Origin 3's on.
Wednesday night. And Paul Kelly, being from Victoria, has probably no idea what Origin is at for the start, let alone...
he probably knows what Origin is, but I seriously doubt that he would have had all three dates penciled into his calendar.
I guarantee he wouldn't have. I mean, who has a gig on Wednesday night? But anyway... I picked that song purely because, and we'll go through the game, but yes, welcome everyone to the Origin 3 Final Play Podcast, where it wasn't a clean sweep. The Maroons did get up 2018.
And end up luck next year.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm happy just to keep winning too and just keep winning series.
That's what basically that run the Queensland had. There was one clean sweep.
I thought the same thing when I was sort of going back and like I was not boasting, but when people
there was a couple of times where it was 2-0 and there wasn't a decider. Right. But yeah, Queensland only had one clean sweep in that 7 series or 8 series on the trot. So. You know, it is what it is. Like this game was, you know, it was on the move basically from the get go. It was meant to be in Sydney, and then, you know, Sydney has its little COVID outbreak, and then it was moved up to Newcastle, and then all of a sudden the outbreak starts to spread a little bit, and the New South Wales government have basically said that we can't have a crowd there, which totally sucks for Newcastle, because I thought that would have been the absolute, if it wasn't going to be in Sydney, that would have been just the perfect venue to have it. It's still in New South Wales. We all know that, yeah, Newcastle's a one-team town. They love their nights there, and I think it would have been very, very well supported. But unfortunately, it ended up being moved to the Gold Coast, where, to me, I didn't think it was very well supported.
No, I mean, both of us are in the same boat here, but when we both watch a replay, it's funny when you watch a replay, it doesn't have that same atmosphere as live. I mean, that's just anything general, but...
Oh, no, God, no.
You are right that it didn't have that origin-y atmosphere. I don't know about that. I mean... The Cbus Super Stadium. I think because it's purely, it looks like it to me at least. It feels like because it's a little bit built like an AFL stadium still. Like it doesn't have that rectangular.
Oh no, it's definitely a rectangular stadium. Like I was there for Thurston's last game in 2018, and it is a beautiful stadium, amazing stadium.
It feels like they're further away. I don't know. It just has that feel.
I don't know. I think the optics of it might look like that, but we were about sort of halfway up one of the tiers, and you're right on top of it. Like it's a really well designed stadium there on the Gold Coast. So look, I don't know whether it was the fact that there was plenty of seats, that, you know, glaring plenty of seats, like right through that middle section of the stadium, that was, you know, that staring at you on the TV, whether it was the fact of it was too short a notice that people sort of couldn't, you know, people couldn't get to the game, were people priced out of it. I'd heard that their ticket prices for, mid grandstand tickets were dearer than what they were up here in Townsville, and that's a bit scary.
Interesting.
And the other thing that sort of crossed my mind a little bit with it as well is the people on the Gold Coast and, you know, in the Tweed area and Brisbane. It's not that it's not a big thing, because look, it always sells out in Brisbane, but I don't know. I just thought that maybe that they were just like, oh, well, you know, it's an Origin. We always get the chance to go to an Origin because we live on the Gold Coast. We live close to Brisbane. So maybe they just didn't see it as much as of an event to sort of get there on such short notice, you know, to maybe try and organize time off work and stuff like that. I don't know, just seeing it on TV, it didn't look good with big patches of empty seats. And apparently as well, they had some ticket scanner issues as people were trying to get in. So okay. I don't think that
it was kind of well. Whereas yours sort of got, I mean Townsville, the first one, it sort of got like it gave his time. Not that it's, you know,
not
it
much.
Was still a rush.
Not
no,
much.
It was still a rush.
Yeah,
but Gold Coast had hardly any. They did it well enough to, and because they had hardly. I mean,
they had 4 days.
So
5 days, I think. I think that was it.
Yeah. So you know, I mean, still full credit to them, and you know, Queensland government is still coming through. I guess the Queensland in general, obviously not just this win, but I mean like. just as well as we can stay ahead of COVID, just purely because
keeping plenty of sports alive at this point
league.
In time as well.
Not just league.
So, no, that's right.
The game itself, look, yes, I mean it started. I guess we're going. I'll keep saying replay a few times, but it started. It looked like it was even before the first try. It looked like it. Your side was well picked in terms of positional plays, because it seemed a lot more tighter than it didn't have that. The Blues weren't over the top in that first, like they have been in the first couple of sets. This one that it felt a bit more controlled by Queensland.
I mean, I guess so. The first 10 minutes I don't think was as intense as what the first 10 or 15 were in game two. I guess purely for the fact that, you know, the series was on the line and Queensland ran out of petrol pretty quick in that first 20 minutes of game two. But this, I don't know, I think their spirits were lifted a little bit. You know, obviously with the third game being in Brisbane. The third game being on the Gold Coast. Sorry,
every game was in Queensland.
Every game was in Queensland, and is it fair to request that all three be in New South Wales next year, or do we just go for next year and say two in New South Wales, one in Queensland?
I mean.
I think it's fair either way. Like, do you know what I mean?
Fair either way, because I mean, obviously you kind of do get a decided advantage really at the end of the day. But I mean, this same thing could happen next year.
No, really? That's right. It's mean. I think they need to cross the bridge. You know, maybe can. Taking the games to neutral venues at the moment with travel restrictions and things like that, because you know Adelaide's been on the board. Perth's been on the board and Perth's, border standpoint has been very, very stringent on letting anybody into the state. It will be all well and good for the players to be able to travel over there, but it'll be the traveling fans who want to go over and maybe see Origin over in Perth rather than just catering it to the locals. Of Western Australia, so I don't know what the crowd would be like over there if it was just, you know, there was no travel allowed at all. So I think the NRL needs to just put let's have it at a neutral site in a shoebox, you know, for a little bit. And I know they like to get out there and announce, we're going to Adelaide next year and stuff like that. I think they need to put that in a shoebox for a little bit and just sort of cater to the places where they can get to rather easily.
I mean, what I think, and it's not going to happen because purely how much of a cash cow and how many tickets you can sell, but I mean, it really did. It for all the quickness of it and everything, it really did work in Townsville, and it really would have worked in Newcastle. So the regional idea is great, but it's not going to happen purely because, you know, 30,000 tickets doesn't equate to when you can sell 50, 60 at prices. So,
and if you get to if you go to Stadium Australia, it's 80, it's 75, it's 80 odd. Correct. So it's full, generally. Like I said, cash cow. That's what it's turning into at the moment. The game sort of it started not so much dire, but I think it came to life with the Latrell Mitchell first try. Like even on the 10th minute, like I think that really, even though Queensland looked like they weren't sort of going to let New South Wales run all over the top of them, I think that sort of buoyed them into action.
We had two new halves ourselves and Jack White and Mitchell Moses, and it did take, I guess, for them up until the 10th minute, so it seemed to like throw the ball a bit more freer. And once it sort of hit that back line properly, Latrell just
Did they make the right choice in the halves pairing in your opinion?
I mean, I'll start with Jack White. I think just purely based on that he was 14 for the first two games, I think he was going to get picked no matter what. I don't know. On form alone, I said this even before, I don't know why he was picked as a utility, because, himself, and that was because of his lofty expectations of Dally M last year, but he himself and that Canberra squad has just regressed big time since last year.
Well, Freddie's still going with the pick and stick, type of way of picking his side and rewarding that loyalty there a little bit. Hindsight's a beautiful thing, but if they want to continue along the lines of club combinations, I think they really could have done a lot worse than picking Cody Walker and Adam Reynolds.
Yeah, I would have advocated Cody Walker 100% in this game. He still feels like even the game when we talk about the game later, but He's tailor made for Origin, I think. I mean, he's really tailor made for Origin because he is like sort of Cameron Munster, is where he can do something out of nothing and just like he can control the game at his level. There's a thousand tricks he can get up to with Whiten sort of.
Well, didn't Munster do that in this game? And that's the first time that we've really seen it this series. Was Munster creating things out of absolutely nothing, like the hammer try, that the Tabuai Fido's try was basically just Munster just getting that over the advantage line and making the markers having to work for it, gets Tino into a gap, and then basically he makes the fullback commit, he makes Tedesco commit, and then he passes it on to Tabuai Fido and he goes over under the sticks. So I
think you're right. I'm Mitchell Moses. I don't know. Like
it's not that he didn't deserve his spot. He totally deserved his spot.
I know what you said. If you had a 6 and 7 that have played together for the whole year
and been in good form, it's not as if one has been in and out of form. Do you know what I mean? That they've been a really form halves pairing throughout this year as well.
I kind of thought, even if you threw in the mix personally, Appy was a great pick, and I'm not disputing that pick, but it would have been interesting to throw Nicho Hynes in that mix. He kept getting picked 19th man for most of this game, just to sort of, see what he could sort of do in that sort of back line,
I think he's that's a little, unfortunate for him to. We'll but it, in the same sense, he's in the system now.
Yeah.
He's been through a few Origin camps now, so I guess it's not going to sort of overawe him a little bit. He knows what to expect. So if he is called upon, down the line, I guess the fourth or fifth picked fullback that New South Wales seem to be
You've got Pappenhausen in the mix too.
That's exactly right. So he's probably fifth down the pecking order. So, which is a bit scary.
What did you think of your boy Tabuai Fido's first try, or just in general? I mean, of his game, it was his first game.
Look, I thought he handled everything really well. I thought New South Wales, especially once Valentine Holmes went down with that shoulder injury, they pushed him out to the wing. AJ Brimson come into the centres. I really didn't think they sent enough traffic down that edge.
No, because I thought that was
glaring. I thought Queensland did a really good job on Trbojevic in the first 20 to 25 minutes, sending a lot of traffic his way, sending Tino his way, a lot of forwards down his way, and putting some big shots on him too, just to sort of, you know, try and take a little bit of gas out of him. And yes, it cuts a lot of the field off if you're just going to take everything down that side, but you've got to try and expose players out of position. And I don't think they did that enough.
No, I thought.
And Brimson defensively was really good.
I was about to say, he's an okay defender. You're right. He was fairly good in this game, but you could have exposed it a bit more, like you said.
Absolutely.
You know, especially when
they should have been going down.
Well, two world class players, like you had two world class players in our centres anyway, in Mitchell Trbojevic. But I think, circling back to what you said about, I think the game plan was good. I think the game plan is probably, Trbojevic looked a bit, I wouldn't say gas, but he, just because every forward was running at him, maybe he was just, he didn't have that explosiveness like he usually has. So the game plan actually seemed to work, Paul Green's game plan, at least for this game. I mean, the whole series is questionable for Paul Green, but just in general in this game, it seemed to work really good.
Yeah, no, that's. I mean, like, I think just if the circumstances were a little bit different and this was a decider, I think this game is totally different. But you know, the game plan that was put in place, yeah, for Queensland, and yes, there was a few spanners thrown in the works there. You know, that's what I mean. You know, Valentine Holmes going down with that AC joint injury right on half time, which was just very very ill opportunistic. But look, that Queensland picked a side that was going to be very attacking. I probably would have liked a little bit more than 20 points out of that, out of that sort of lineup. And
you're right. That was my sort of thought, is that after Ben Hunt's, not just one try, but two tries, I thought, that middle sort of section of the game, that they didn't have enough ascendancy. I completely agree with you. Like, I don't, with that attacking prowess that they had, so to speak, it didn't, it just, you're right. They didn't seem to pile on the points. I mean,
I don't think it was ever not so much design, but I didn't think they were ever really going to, pile on 30 or 36 points or anything. I just would have maybe expected a little bit more than 20 points. But it is what it is, and basically come down, in the end to the penalty goal that was taken in the fourth minute. That was that's the difference between the two teams, and that's all it's got to be.
I also thought that, if you're coming down to it, I had no problem with Latrell Mitchell taking that sort of 50-meter pot shot to try to even up the game. I thought that, and even Freddie come out post game and sort of said the same thing. He said, he sort of smashes them during training, so
no, that's right. So no, you may as well give it a chop. What did you make of Addo Carr and the shot that he took right in the middle of the back by Tino Fasuamala'ali? Did you think that was dirty, or was that within the confines of the game?
It sure looked dirty, obviously. It sure looked dirty, but I think...
Did it, though? Did it really?
It sure looked dirty. But in the confines of the game, I thought that's just, you get hit in the kidneys in the back all the time in the confines.
Happens all the time.
I'm saying it looks dirty because, like, at any slow-mo, anything that when you get jolted that looks dirty. In the confines of the game, no. Like, if he tried to tackle him and he still jolted him, they wouldn't be saying anything. But it's because he's left with his shoulder.
That's the way that the modern NRL player does things these days now. As soon as they hit the line, they love to spin and push their way backwards. So you open yourself up to stuff like that.
I've got no – yeah, I'm not a big fan of that as well. I've got no –
no, problem. It's crazy because if you want to quick play the ball, what do you need to do? You need to be face down so you can just go straight up and get to your feet rather than having to turn over. I don't get the tactic of it.
No, and it no, I don't get it either because you don't know what the hell's going on. It's funny. It happens in it feels like a little union-y, if you know what I mean, like where they turn and then sort of, you know, shuffle the ball on when they do that in their games. It feels I don't get it.
The only thing is, I guess, you know, if you can get your arms free, it makes an offload a little bit sort of easier to sort of flop it out the back. But, you know, even then, just because you can offload doesn't mean you should. And I've said that plenty of times before as well. But it just it's a strange tactic that I guess that's just what's crept into the game at the moment. But look, you know, over Benny Hunt, the way that he played,
wow,
and the way that he's played this year, and I guess you know, both St. George players in this series, you know, him and Tarek Sims were massive, and Ben Hunt should have absolutely 100% without any equivocations should have been the number 9 in game 2.
Yeah, I mean, we both said that.
As much as you know, Andrew McCulloch did an admirable job and everything in game 2, it just that was a really poor, you know, selection gaffe, I think, by Paul Green.
Well, we both said the same thing. We both seen it. It if anything, I mean, I'm, you know, I don't care. I'm trampling on my. He was obviously the stud of this week for this game because he just was.
I absolutely think so. Look, and don't underestimate the influence that Kalen Ponga had on this team as well.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I thought, you know, he didn't have a Kalen Ponga-esque kind of game, but he did. He did what he needed to do, and he still got the most run meters for Queensland at least. But he makes. The reason he doesn't have the Caleb Ponga-esque game because, you know, you just expect so much out of him. But he did enough in this game where he made New South Wales second guess a lot, at least. That's been half
Queensland's problem is a lot of it has been a little bit too predictable, whereas you have guys, you know, like Ponga in this side, Tabuai Fadeau in this side. You know, Munster looked good with some good go forward by the Queensland, Queensland forwards up front. Yeah. I thought this was probably one of Tino's sort of better games.
I think he needed to get through the work rate,
what I'd probably like to see out of him, but I think he had the most impact that he has all this series because he has severely lacked impact in this series.
I think that's all right. I think he needed to have this kind of game in order to justify a spot next year. I mean, he played well. I also thought, I guess, for Queensland, like he's mentioned Tabuai Fadeau, you know, I Kurt Catewell is a second rower. Like
absolutely.
I like him. I do like him as a player. I mean, he's playing in Brisbane next year. I am glad they sort of moved him in the second row because, you know, as well as he did in those one or two games, he just had that sort of step behind. So
it needed to happen. Like positional changes like that needed to happen through not so much through necessity, but I think if they really wanted to challenge. And look, defensively, it's not that much of a difference. It's only defending one player in further, you know, from the sideline, but I think attacking wise, you don't feel the need for him to get involved as much when he's a center, like in the attack, because he's supposed to be a strike sort of guy. Like, gone are the days where, you know, you have your defensive specialist in there, you know, like a Paul Bowman or someone like that, who's basically in there to shore up one side of your defensive. Your defensive line, and you're just not getting through that. So I think they needed to get a little bit more strike out there. I guess that with Tabuai Fadeau coming into the side, the casualty was Kyle Feld, which was a little unfortunate. So cowboy for cowboy, but I think, you know, he definitely provided some spark in that game, and that's what Queensland needed, and what New South Wales has basically done throughout the whole, well, you know, the whole series was provide spark. Trbojevic, Tedesco, Mitchell, To'o, you know, all of the have all provided major spark.
Correct.
And put sort of defences on the back foot, and that's what Queensland had to do.
With going back to circling back to Ben Hunt being, I guess, both of our studs by the sound of it. We said this a couple of weeks ago. It kind of feels now a little bit justified. I think you have to have him in, you know, in the utility, or at least one of those utilities in the Australian World Cup squad. I think he has to be.
Oh no, he'll be there.
We you know, we said it a couple of weeks ago before he had this sort of blinder game, but it's funny, like, you know, he got paid all that money, obviously, you know, to go to St. George's as a halfback. But I don't know, if anything, even when he was being at St. George, like he seems to play really good at dummy half.
He's versatile.
He's very versatile. So I don't know if that's sort of, I mean, he's 31 now, so he's sort of coming up.
You know, he's not just really a defensive liability either, so.
No. Like, oh, no. That's the other thing. So, you know, he played, obviously, a full game in this game. He didn't play a full game in the second game. He didn't play the first game. But no, he was in terms of sort of passing, you know, your hookers, it's just little stats that sort of just, like, come out at me when I sort of seen him. Hookers, just to, I mean, prove how much of an asset he was in your sort of side. Hookers always sort of, you know, well, they all always lead this, because between them and your halves, they'll always lead how much, you know, they hold the ball, at least touch the ball. So Cook was on top of 285, but Ben Hunt was 156 and second, you know, in terms of he was in front of Munster, he was in front of Daly Cherry-Evans, who both played three full 80-minute games. Just to show you, I just thought that was just how much effect he had, obviously, in that third game, but even in the second game a little bit. You know, he was playing off the bench in that second game. It wasn't even in the first game, and to be the second person in the Origin to have the most touches of the ball, I just was astounded.
No, yeah, that's right. And look, he made 41 tackles as well. So, he gets through a mountain of work.
It's just not a liability at all. Even, you know.
No, that's right.
So, did you have, just on obviously other things, but did you have a dud during this sort of game?
I thought New South Wales halves were extremely clunky in attack. Like, not to say that you can blame them for the loss or anything like that. Like, you know, it's only a 2-point loss, but I just thought that they seem to think that Mitchell Moses, when he's at his most dangerous, is when he's taking on the line, and he just didn't really do that enough, I don't think.
No, I agree. I don't think he did, and I honestly don't think.
And the same with Whiten as well. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he's best when he's taking on
that's
the
on
the line as well.
So it's sort of line.
Yeah, it sort of negates, you know, what you want out of them. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, combined, look, Whiten did engage the line a bit more, but Mitchell Moses, I just don't think he got involved enough. Especially a first receiver.
He didn't also get, and my dad was, and it's not so much everybody in this forward pack, but I don't know if it's sort of between Mitchell Moses and the forward pack as a dud, because he didn't seem to get there. And it's not just his job, it's Damien Cook's job as well. He didn't sort of seem to get the, you know, the 8 to 13 players just go in the go forward. I mean, the interchange
the Dal Finucane selection to play starting prop, I thought was extremely strange.
It was okay, yeah. So it was extremely strange, and I totally agree with that. But he also topped the run meters, you know, in terms of the forwards. All the backs for New South Wales smashed the run meters, but you know, it was Payne Haas only played 38 minutes, but you know, got 135 meters. Angus Crichton,
right. And that is totally not enough.
No, you mean in terms of minutes? Is that what you mean?
Of minutes wise. That, no, well, that's just all not the interchange. For somebody like Payne Haas.
All the interchange. Angus Crichton, 29 minutes, 106 meters. You know, and then all the other players, like your Junior Paulos of the world, your Tarek Sims, your Isaiah Yeos, they all went under 100 metres. Cameron Murray, under 100 metres. So it's just, you know, you're right. Payne Huss, and you know, I'm a big fan of Payne Huss anyway, but he should have been the starting prop. No, 100%.
That is just the reward for what he's done or what he's been doing this. And all well and good, you can bring Finucane and, you know, off the bench. Like, it was just a bit odd, that's all. Like, you know, just team balance-wise.
It was a questionable selection. I think, and remembered the 360 after when...
Paul Kenton and Brandy Alexander, got into... I don't think Brandy was very... very happy with the aggressive, shall we say, nature in the questions. It's just like he knows Paul Kent, you know, better than a lot of people. He knows he's going to come after him like that, and play, you know, play the hindsight game.
You always give me fiery questions, Kenny, don't you?
That's what exactly. Well, you're a very aggressive line of questioning. Yeah. It's just like, well, what do you want? Do you want to be cuddled, or do you want to smack on the ass, after a loss?
Finucane shouldn't have been he should have been on the bench, and then, you know, providing for Paul, Junior Paulo and Payne Huss. So Payne Huss should have played a 480. You know, 12 runs for 135 meters. Like, he just, it was perplexing. And that was
out, it wasn't really a like for like, selection. You know, they lost Daniel Saifidi and they bring in another second rower. So I guess, It's the reward. That's the thing. It's the reward for Finucane playing as well as what he has been. But you need Grunt up front.
But you're right with the like for like, but that's the thing he's done this year, and even sort of he started doing last year in terms of having the like for like players. You know, I mean, yes, Trbojevic and Mitchell are centers. We're playing in centers, but are fullbacks. I understand that. But if someone was injured, you know, they usually before had, you know, they replaced them with someone sort of, you know, like a decent sort of player, or like for like a front row for a front row, or a hooker for a hooker. But this one, Finucane should have been there, but he should have been on the bench. It was a weird pick and he's not even got the size of a front row, really, at the end of the day.
And that's the thing, and to come into this sort of arena, especially with the pack, the size of Queensland, and like you said, he had done extremely admirably with the amount of meters that he did make and the way that he played. But I just thought, you know, the like for like just wasn't quite there. And you know, Queensland's pack's fairly big, so it's the game plan of let's move the big guys around and try and tire them out.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And it worked. I mean, you think, you know, I guess after sort of this series, she lost 2-1. I kind of think after this, Paul Green will be safe for another year at least.
Oh, at least another year.
Every other player will be sort of safe. You know, your Daly Cherry Evans of the world. I mean, really, that was the only sort of glaring run. The rest of them are fairly safe, but... will be again there next year, will he?
I think so. Like, you generally can't sort of predict the future in what what both representative sides will look like, next year. Like you said, they've planted the seeds there for the future. And you know, we've seen a glimpse into what a more attacking Queensland side can look like, obviously without injuries and things like that happened as well. So, I think Lindsay Collins would have been a massive part of this series if he hadn't have been hurt for the Roosters. So, he was big for Queensland last year in that series win. So, it is what it is. You know, injuries come into every season. And every representative series. You know, have a look at what New South Wales had to deal with just for this game, with losing both halves. Like that's tough to deal with.
Especially two halves that are obviously, you know, a brilliant halves pairing, but also play on the same side.
That's huge, they've just been destroying people. Cleary, you know, looks, you know, every part of being a Dally M, you know, medalist towards the end of the year. Yeah, this extended period of time out of the game is certainly going to hurt him and open the door for somebody like Trbojevic to come through and, you know, snatch away that prestigious medal. But I guess we'll see as the season goes on. Now I think there's what eight more weeks of footy left after this Origin series.
But even on your side, I mean, you think if Ponga was there at least in the first sort of two games, it could have been interesting as well. So,
and to me, he had the play of the game, the knockdown. You know, he didn't intercept the ball, but he knocked the ball down as Trbojevic broke the line and basically was about to pass off. I think Tedesco was the one that was following him up, and Ponga got in the way of the pass and knocked the ball down, and that would have sealed the game, I think, for New South Wales. I don't think Queensland would have had to, yeah, would have been able to come back from that. I think it was in the 71st minute, I think, that knockdown occurred by Ponga just sort of jumping out of the line and taking a chance. I thought that was pretty much the play of the game, and that's what, you know, Queensland sort of, yeah, well, they obviously needed that in that part of the game. But New South Wales just couldn't really sort of ice the game in the last 10 minutes or so.
No. Yeah.
After the Coruscant try, I thought they were getting some really good momentum throughout the end of the game, and they just couldn't throw enough, attack at Queensland, because they were certainly on their line enough.
The pressure was there.
They just couldn't. Yeah. They just couldn't get over the line.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that.
It was about six or seven sets, you know, inside that last 10 minutes that they had. Queensland had like three sets or two sets in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was crazy the amount of possession the New South Wales were getting, and Queensland just kept turning them away and turning them away.
I mean, this sort of came out sort of post game. I think it was Phil Gould, but I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it was Phil Gould. Do you like, you know, I mean, this is easy for you because it's sort of centered around NBA as well. So I don't know if you like it or not, but do you like the idea of where I think he proposed it basically, if you just like the NBA, like if you win a series, you win, you know, when you win that game, you win the series. Whereas in, unfortunately, with three games, if you don't win the third game, it doesn't matter. You still win the series. Where if they push it out to five possible games, at least then someone's got to win three games in terms to, you know what I mean? Like in terms of to win the series.
Where in the blue hell are they going to try and fit five games in?
That was obviously my first. I like the idea in principle, because I think that's a great idea in terms of, yeah, the winner gets to celebrate the series win, just like an NBA. Like same thing. I think it's good. You're right. How the hell do they fit that two more games in?
Yeah,
that's exactly
right. And as much as what comes out of Phil Gould's mouth is generally gold, this is garbage. Not going to happen. Like that cannot work in a sport like this, where you only play every week, and especially in the representative arena. Like it just simply cannot work. I don't even have the words to describe how dumb that sounds. I think that might be a little bit harsh, but it just simply cannot work in a sport like this. It's different in the NBA, where you can back up after 2 days. It'd be different in cricket, because, you know, in a T20 series, because you can play every other day. Do you know what I mean? You can have a rest day and then play the next day. It just simply cannot work in a sport like this. It'd be like saying that for the NFL.
It just simply
can't work.
I totally get exactly what you're saying. I really do. I just mean in the idea in principle I like, because purely because
plenty of ideas are good in principle. Doesn't mean they're good in practice.
In theory and reality, this would have never worked, because you're not gonna, you know, you're just not gonna find two. You said it perfectly. You know, you're not gonna back up after two days. Firstly, And they don't even back up even now. It used to, but now most of the players don't even back up on the in the you know in that round now. It seems to be some of them.
That's so. Right. And the thing is too, like you know, there's talk going around again, like it does every year. Oh, you know, when are we gonna have you know just the whole competition shut down for 3 weeks and just have 3 weeks of Origin, blah blah blah. Like that can't happen. The reason why it worked so well last year is because we were in the middle of a freaking pandemic where we had to have it at the end of the season. There was no international travel. So it just simply cannot work at the end of the season. It cannot work because other teams out there and other countries want to play international football. And that's just what we have to conform to is, you know, New Zealand. The Pacific Island nations, the European countries, they want to play international football. They mm-hmm. don't have anything like State of Origin. So that's to rugby leagues or, you know, or the NRL's detriment a little bit. But that's just too bad. Like we said it before, they need to sort of bring back some sort of pride and precedence to representing your country. For, you know, pulling on the Kangaroos jersey should be the be-all, end-all of representative football, not playing in a maroon or blue jersey.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, this is why you pay your top, like, 30 players, top, you know, you have the top 30 players you pay in contract. You know, yeah, some don't get to play hardly at all, but during this time, they have to play. So this is why you
that's
have
right.
30
well, that's the thing. There's representative envy around because and you have this throughout the middle of the season, so all the Kiwis, all the Tongans, all the Samoans, Fijians, all of they all start getting a little antsy in the pantsy and go, well, you know, where's our representative football? And I thought the way that they sort of did it a couple of years ago when they first trialed the Origin on a Sunday night, by having those Pacific nations have their time in the sun on the Friday and the Saturday night.
And the women's and one as well. I thought the same thing.
I thought it was a brilliant idea.
You had the women's on the Friday and I think then the couple of Pacific
Nation
games on the Saturday.
That's right. There was generally two tests. So it was, you know, played out between either, you know, Papua New Guinea,
yeah.
Fiji, Tonga and Samoa. And that you can just, and you can rotate those teams
They could probably even do it like just them, like a little mini buddy tournament during this, have a cup.
90% of those representative players are here playing in the NRL.
Have a mini cup, and I'm sure that you know they'd love it. Just as something at least to sort of cheer about. So
to totally shut down the league for 3 weeks.
No.
Is contradictory to what they do through the 25 rounds of the regular season. Because me personally, Thursday night football sucks. Monday night football sucks. It should be a very simple blueprint of when you play football. You have your two on your Friday night, three on a Saturday, three on a Sunday. It's very simple. But this ridiculous notion that, ooh, we have to play Thursday night because the AFL plays Thursday night and we can't have casual fans not looking at our product and looking at theirs. So we have to play on a Thursday night. It's ridiculous. You're never going to come up against. It's David versus Goliath in this country when it comes to TV deals, when it comes to bums on seats. The AFL is just bigger. I'm not going to say it's better because it clearly isn't. But
it's bigger. It is bigger.
It's bigger, and you can't go up against that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It is bigger. That's just. And that's always been – well, not going to say always been the case, but it slowly has been the case. And then it – yeah. No, I agree. I don't
make,
like it.
Make your fan – don't worry about another game. Make your fans comfortable. Make your fans feel prioritized. Nobody goes to football on a Thursday night. It's ridiculous.
And even like the – I think it was the teams – and I'm only saying – not saying just Melbourne because they're my team, but I hate when teams whinge about, you know, these kind of things during the Origin. Melbourne don't seem to have an issue. They have all these players out every single time and they still back up and win or even not. They use the other players that they have in their squad and team and continue to win. So I've got, I've got no sympathy for the other teams. That's just part and part. Like I think someone mentioned it. Like you know when you sign these players that they're Origin stars. So that's you're going to have Origin stars. They're going to be out. That's just the way it is. When you sign these stars for a reason because they're great players.
Because that's right. Because they're clearly, they're clearly in the upper echelon of rugby league players and they're the kind of players that you want in your club. Isn't that what your club wants and your coaches want? You want your players to be playing well enough so they can get out there and represent their state and their country.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's exactly right. Because then it obviously draws more fans to your, it draws more fans to, to your team. You know, then they buy the jerseys, not just New South Wales, and then they buy the jersey. Kids will buy the jerseys. Oh, look, like Addo Carr, I guarantee he'll sell a lot of Bulldogs jerseys next year because he's moving there. Because kids love Addo Carr.
Exactly.
So, that's right. You sign them. That's how they are. Just have to put up with it and adjust your team. That's just the way it is.
No, that's so, right. Just before we go, what did you think of Gagai v Mitchell round 3?
Look,
because they have been at each other this whole series.
Isn't it just a weird relationship? Purely because they're on the same.
It's very bizarre, and it come out sort of afterwards that Latrell Mitchell basically sort of tried to. Not so much squash what was going on around there, but basically come out with sort of a open your mouth before your brain engages sort of statement as if you're not wearing a blue jersey then I don't respect you. Like that's ridiculous. Like that is just shooting your mouth off for the hell of it.
I know he respects Dane Gay.
Of course he does. They play on the same fucking team. They're around each other every day. Like, that's ridiculous.
He sort of said, he really sort of said, if you don't wear a blue jersey, when I'm playing for the Blues, I'm not your friend. After that, I'm we're teammates, we're friends and all. That's what he should have said.
No, you cannot be mates on the field, but just the thought that the way that they sort of, they went after each other this whole series. Oh, and, Gagai caught the brunt of 95% of the losing end of
this. Well, I was about to say, in the past couple of years, you're right. In the past couple of years, Gagai's had that upper hand, so to speak, because Latrell's sort of been off that little, form. So, in this one, it was completely obvious that Latrell had the huge hand in this sort of series, but
that's right. And he had major success going up against his club teammate.
It's entertaining. It always has been. When they used to play against each other in club football, it was Roosters and Rabbitohs. It was entertaining. So
yeah, that's right.
I loved it. I love it a lot. Yeah, they'll keep playing for ages. So, and they'll keep playing.
That's right. Yeah, it's a little theatrical, but you're like, it is what it is.
We are recording this a little bit late, so everyone sort of realizes. But talk about theatrics. Wait till we sort of start talking about the next NRL round. Oh my God, there was theatrics in a certain game, but. Wow, it was a weird sort of game, but we'll talk about that on the next pod because this one's wrapping up. Don't forget that all our socials, please give us a follow, which is Facebook, Final Play Podcast, Twitter at Final Play Pod. Probably more the better one, and especially would be Spotify. If you give us a like and follow that, it's easier to find. It makes it easier for you. That's the bigger one.
Yeah, Spotify is so easy. We're on SoundCloud as well. That's where the links come up, and you'll see all the links to our pods on Facebook, the SoundCloud link and the Spotify link. No certain fruit involved in any links there, but we're also on Eureka Sports Cards on Facebook as well. And also gimco.com.au, which I couldn't help myself. Participated in the latest NFL break, and by the looks of it, got my boys, got my New Orleans Saints. So I was pretty happy with that, but didn't get a whole lot of action, which was a little disappointing, but them's the breaks.
Well, it's like
the breaks in a break.
And it's like betting, really. It's just you're going.
No, that's right. You know, and it's a gamble. I can handle not getting a whole lot of chop with with the team that that I like, that I support, rather than having a team that I don't support and then not getting anything. That's just a double blow to the nuts. So
wait till it gets closer to that NFL season. It's going to ramp up for everybody that's in the car.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's something,
especially with this rookie
week,
class.
Every week there's NBA Fridays.
NFL rookie class is just littered with potential. I think at least I'm not fully in the cards, but this rookie class alone will be littered with highly valuable quarterback cards, big time.
Oh yeah, big time. Yeah, right. It's I mean, once you start getting the new, because there was the new I think it was Legacy 2021 in this break. So and I'm not the biggest fan of college cards, I like to see them in their professional uniforms.
Yeah.
Rather than see them in their collegiate stuff, but that's just me. But it was it's one of the newer products that come out. It's a nice looking product, don't get me wrong, but I'm just not a big fan of the players and rookies and stuff in their collegiate uniforms. I like to see them in their professional uniforms.
I agree, totally agree. Well, have a good week, everyone. My name's Jason. Oh, look, I'm just I'm gonna
went to Paul Kelly instead of watching Origin Smith.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what I was about to say. Yeah, Paul Kelly, you're good, but yeah, don't next time put it on, especially in rugby league country. Don't put your gigs on the same night as Origin.
On Wednesday night's crazy talk.
I wouldn't win it, even though it's weird. I would have win a Monday or Tuesday, not a Wednesday.
No, that's right, exactly. That's the thing too. Like, I guess I'll sign off as Miles. I didn't even watch the game live because I was at work plum. So, I totally refused to download the 9Now app. So I just recorded it on Foxtel and watched it the next morning. It would have been totally different if it was a decider.
Oh, big time.
I would have found a way to
would have sold watch these it. Tickets. I would have sold these tickets. I'm telling you now. They were the people I went with would have said the same thing. Yeah, we're not going, so you better sell those tickets.
No, that's right. And that was the thing. Like, we play club basketball here on a Wednesday night as well. They just continue to roll on throughout the Origin as well. It's like, that's crazy talk. Well, our game was at 6:30, so, my team didn't really have, even though I wasn't there, didn't really have, a whole lot of disadvantage because – that they could get home and still watch the game live after a 6:30 game. So that's not too bad. But I'm sure the other teams who weren't so lucky would have been very apprehensive in showing up. And generally, they just can all of those Wednesday games that are on Origin nights. But they plowed on this year. So, well up to Townsville basketball. I don't know what the turnout was like for the 8:30 games or even the 7:30 games. But, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it wasn't the best.
All right, have a good week, everyone. See ya.
Plow on, everybody. See ya.
Plow on.